Welcome to a Sober Girls Guide podcast, a lifestyle podcast based on sobriety and recovery. I'm your host and sober girl, Jessica Jabot. Inspired by my own sobriety and wellness journey, I want to spread the wealth of knowledge. Tune in each week for uncensored conversations about mental health, self-development, wellness and spirituality, and how they influence each guest's unique recovery journey. My goal is to educate and inspire and to let you know you are not alone on your recovery journey. Thanks so much for tuning in to a Sober Girls Guide podcast. Let's go! Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 251 of a Sober Girls Guide podcast. On this episode, we are talking all about marijuana. That's right, pot, cannabis, THC, Mary Jane, the devil's lettuce, whatever you like to call it. Meg Fee is here to share her experience with alcohol and using THC as harm reduction to change her relationship with alcohol and how that affected her. On this episode, you will learn if THC is safer than alcohol, sneaky ways that THC affects you and your relationships, and how to know if you need to change your relationships with THC. This is such a fantastic episode because there is so much stigma and shame around THC and cannabis that we are here to talk all about it. So let's get into it. Meg, what is going on? How are you?
Hi, thanks for having me.
I am so excited to have you, and I've been waiting to dig into this topic for so long because you're someone with really great experience and knowledge all around this topic, and it is THC, cannabis, pot, the devil's lettuce. We are getting into it today. But Meg, before we get into that, I want to talk about your relationship with alcohol because there are some correlations here. I would love for you to give us your BS self, your before sobriety self. If you could give us an insight into what Meg was like.
Yes. I kind of love that it's BS self because it's that was my bullshit self when I was drinking.
That was everyone's self.
Yeah. But yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited. Like I said before we started recording, I am really eager to talk about this topic specifically because I don't think there's enough people talking about this in the sobriety space. It can be kind of taboo, you know, but there's a lot of people who use THC when they quit drinking still, and that's fine. I'm not here to judge, never here to judge anyone, but I think talking about it has made me realize that a lot more people are questioning it and questioning their use than it might seem.
Totally.
So yeah, I'm excited to talk about it. My BS self. Anytime someone's like, "What's your history with alcohol?" I'm like, "How do I make this succinct?" But I think
just give it to us all. Like, we're here for it. We want to hear all of it.
Yeah, I started drinking just like everybody does, I think, in their teens. Like, you start experimenting. It starts out innocently. You know, I wasn't a big, like, drinker in high school. You know, like, out of the people in my grade in my school, I wasn't the one that was, like, at parties all the time or anything like that. But I definitely experimented with both alcohol and THC in high school. There were definitely some red flags with my drinking even back then, like looking back. I was a blackout drinker from the jump. Like, just – it wouldn't really matter how much I drank. But I would black out every time, and I kind of just thought that was normal. And that continued into college. Again, it was still kind of innocent at the time. Like, you go to a big university in the US and drinking is just what you do. It's
totally
the lifestyle. And I would black out. Like, there were definitely red flags that I can identify looking back, but I never, throughout college, it never occurred to me that I, like, had a problem or should need to like take a step back or reflect on my habits at all. I do come from a family who drinks, who enjoys drinking, a big Irish American family, and we live up to the stereotype of that. Sobriety was not something that was modeled for me, and like moderation was not really something that was modeled for me either. Yeah. And I'm not blaming my family, but it just I didn't have any reservations about it. I liked to drink. My friends did, family did. And then at the end of after college, I moved back to I went to college out in Arizona, and I moved back to New York home. Moved into the city, started working my first like corporate job. I work in advertising, creative production specifically, and I got hired at a really cool like creative agency. Felt like I was kind of on top of the world in my early 20s. The agency had a lot of big alcohol clients, and so the first job that I had at the agency was I was the social media manager for Budweiser and Captain Morgan. I know, and it kills me. Like, I thought it was the coolest. Like, I literally thought I had the coolest job in the world.
You probably did. Like,
it was
back in the day. Those were your priorities. Like. Yeah, party and booze. And if you're getting free booze, you are living the dream, sister.
Oh, yeah. And the agency that I worked at definitely had a fully stocked bar and lots of, you know, happy hours and Thirsty Thursdays and all of that. So my drinking definitely escalated. You know, it was for someone who drank like me, it was like – paradise. And again, I still didn't really recognize any issue. So throughout my early 20s, you know, like 20 to 25, that drinking and partying just sort of escalated. And eventually, you know, there wasn't a big rock bottom moment. I think I had a lot of bottoms like throughout my 20s. There were a lot of situations looking back that I should have been like, oh, this should be it. Like, that should have been the end.
Yeah.
And they weren't, you know, I would just keep drinking, you know, I would just kind of chalk it up to like, oh, I didn't eat that day or like whatever. But I was definitely someone who would like just be really irresponsible and risky and make stupid decisions and like get into fights. And I was just like blacked out, frolicking about like New York City in my 20s. Like, looking back, I'm like, how did I even live? Like, but
isn't that funny how like we think that's what living is supposed to be like? That's such an exciting, like, you are really living if you're like partying and going to all these events and like enjoying yourself in quotation marks by drinking.
Yeah. And by all accounts, like from the outside looking in, fully had my shit together. Like,
right.
There were definitely people who, you know, certain people who maybe would have said I wasn't a good drinker or something like that. You know, my family would joke sometimes and like be like, uh-oh, like Meg's like, you know, blacked out last night or whatever. But it was always kind of like joking. Nothing was ever brought to me as a concern. And I just chalked it up to kind of like being young and dumb and like enjoying myself. And eventually it came to a point where it got dark. Like I started having, you know, it got to a point where I was drinking alone a lot, where my mood and my mindset when I drank was dark. Like kind of depressed, anxious, sad, lonely. Like I was drinking. I was still definitely drinking out with people socially, but I also was finding that I was drinking alone and like to cope with some like sadness within me. It got to a point where eventually my now he's my husband, but at the time, my boyfriend and then fiance, he had mentioned, you know, we had had a few, again, things that you would consider bottoms.
Sure.
But I had a few like episodes, I guess I'll say, where he was concerned and like expressed that he was concerned and worried and might reach out to my family. Or he even mentioned like, I don't think I can marry you if you're like this. And so that was around like 27, 28. And that's when I started exploring sobriety and being like,
yeah,
okay, something needs to change.
And what was your initial reaction? Because like up until now, like you haven't really been confronted about your drinking or about your behavior. What was your initial reaction when your partner, the person closest to you, who's supposed to know you the best, right? Or, you know, be there for you the most. What was your reaction to what he was saying, to his like voices of concern?
I think at the time when it got to that point, like I knew too.
Okay.
And I was just afraid at that time. I remember like when people ask like what made you stop drinking, I always say like fear. Like I was actually afraid of myself. And it happened pretty quickly. Like I said, like 25, wasn't really concerned, but by the time I was 27, 28, I was like, oh, this is not sustainable. This is dark. And it just kind of happened quickly. And I was afraid of what was going to happen to me if I didn't stop. And so my reaction, of course, I was like heartbroken and sort of panicked because I didn't want to lose him. But I think I knew, like, I think it was kind of like, okay, it's over. Like I need to address this for real.
Yeah.
And that was like right before COVID is when it really came to a head.
Ooh, like, okay.
Yeah.
And then how did you move forward and how did you address that?
So I moved forward trying to moderate, trying to cut back.
How did that work for you?
I mean, I'm sure you can guess. It didn't work well at all. And it wasn't the first time I had tried, right? Like,
sure.
I've been trying for years at that point, but it was like, okay, no, I'm serious about it.
Okay.
And I actually enrolled in, I somehow ended up, you know, sober Instagram is obviously how we connected and it's how I connect with a lot of people now, but I opened a different Instagram account for like, for inspiration, not for sobriety at all. It was like for health inspiration. I was like, I need to go on like a spiritual, like wellness journey and fix this depression and like not really putting two and two together that like, no, it's the drinking. That's the problem. It's not like anything else.
Yeah. Can't sage this away.
Yeah. So I opened this account exactly and stumbled upon sober Instagram stories, you know, different quit lit books and podcasts. I just couldn't unsee it. So really, it just kind of went, you know, spiraled, but in a good way from there.
Yeah, and communities are so important. Like, it is so draining. Like, just the amount of energy. First of all, trying to moderate.
Ugh.
I can only imagine. Like, ugh. I've tried it. I tried it for 10 years.
Yeah.
doesn't work for me. No. It doesn't really. It's like halfway to sober town, I feel. But everyone has to do it. It's like the rite of passage, right? It's like going to college, getting the partying years out of you, and then, you know, trying to moderate, trying to reestablish your relationship with alcohol or lack thereof. It's just like how you kind of change it. It just is a natural passage.
Yeah. I encourage people to moderate because it's eye-opening. Like if you are someone who can't moderate.
Yeah.
There's your answer. Like people who can moderate usually don't have to try so hard. Like my husband, he's completely normal, natural moderator. Like he'll like go halfway through a beer and then leave it. And I'm like,
what are you doing?
but he thinks nothing of it. And like, right. those are people who can moderate. But I don't know if I fully believe that. It's hard. It's like controversial. But
do you even think that qualifies as moderation?
Right. That's the thing.
Or is that just like, and I also don't like to use this word, is that a healthy relationship with alcohol?
That's how I define it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that sounds a little bit more natural. Like, and I know, if you have to overthink it, if you have to like control, if you have to set these rules and limits to something, that's not necessarily healthy.
Yeah. It's tough. It's a really tough one because mm-hmm. I do encourage, like I said, I encourage it. I encourage harm reduction. Like yep. if you're someone who you're like, no, I cannot, whether it's right now or in the future, I cannot quit drinking. I don't want to, mm-hmm. but you want to work with a therapist or you want to work with a mentor or someone to like help you moderate, that could always lead to sobriety down the line. And it's better than throwing caution to the wind and just like full on abusing it. So it's like, I don't,
right.
for me.
Or not doing anything at all, or being stuck in the same place,
right.
doing the same things, wondering the same, like, why am I still doing the same thing? And why am I at the same place in my life? Well, because yeah. you haven't changed. You're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree. I love that. And I love that you encourage people to do that because it also shows like, it's tough. And is it worth it? Is it worth the energy to moderate?
Right. And it's hard for me to moderate than just not have any.
Yeah, totally. But again, like you just said, looking at the whole kind of like scope of everything and being like, okay, I'm never drinking ever again is also terrifying to think yeah. of, especially yeah. in your first like few days, few months. Even first year, to think like, oh, this is going to be the rest of my life. You can't do that.
No.
You also don't have to.
Right.
Like you don't have to have it all figured out.
No, no, no.
Yeah. Okay. So the moderating, not so hot for you.
Well, yeah, not hot. It ended up like, you know, just making me end up in a binge cycle again.
Right.
Anyway, so I like to say like 2020 was the year that I like started exploring sober curiosity. I think the most I had was like 3 months I got to, and I was like on top of the world, feeling amazing about that. And then in 2021, I went almost the full year without drinking. I did almost 10 months and then slipped at my own bachelorette party. And then 2022, you know, so after I did those 10 months, I was like, this is a common one. People are like, I'm healed. Like, I could
totally.
Like, I'm
totally.
Good.
And it's so like we have dementia or something. Like, we forget, like, this is why I don't drink. It's like yeah. we have to constantly test ourselves.
I know. I don't. And it's so frustrating. And it's even more frustrating to look back on because I did that almost the full year in 2021. And then 2022, once I had that first slip,
yeah,
I kept testing the waters in 2022. So I spent most of 2022 alcohol free, but I slipped up 9 times. Like okay. I tested the water 9 times in 2022.
Just to make sure.
It was always red wine.
Okay.
It wasn't.
What was the circumstances, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, nothing crazy happened. It was every single time was red wine.
Okay.
Every single time was in just either a setting with just me and my husband where I was like,
oh,
can I fit the, like, maybe I could just have like one or two.
Yeah.
I was really battling myself on like, does this need to seriously be a thing? Even though I knew.
Yeah.
So it was almost all of them were just me and my husband.
Yeah.
And I would have two and I would want another one, but my husband would be like, nope, you said two, we're done. And like, I wasn't satisfied. Like I wasn't satisfied. I still wanted more and I just knew it. Like, why am I even bothering? Like, so nothing crazy happened, but, And then finally had my last sip that I've had, you know, since I hit a year in September 2023. So September 2022 was my last sip, and it was a similar thing. It was a glass of wine. My best friend works at a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I want a glass of red wine. And she was like, are you sure? Like, I like made her serve it to me. She's like, okay. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even finish it. Mm. I was like, why am I doing this? And I just, and that was it. So it's funny how like there, again, like I said before, there were so many moments that should have been my bottom. And it, the last time I drank was actually like such a insignificant, like nothing moment, but I was like, okay, that's it. I'm done.
Yeah. But it's this inner turmoil, right? Like we have this inner kind of dialogue, this push pull. This is an emotional connection. This isn't just like, oh, Meg, like, you know, this isn't good for you. You know, this isn't working. You know, your intuition is telling you, nah, not the best, not where we want to be.
Yeah.
But it's our emotions that override us. We have an emotional connection with alcohol.
Yeah.
What did you think when you were like you mentioned the times you drank were alone or at home with your husband? What do you think you were drinking for? Like, what were you looking for in that glass of wine?
It's that fantasy that like, oh, I can, you know, this is something that it's a nice way to relax, sit here with my husband, watch a movie, have a glass of wine. Or one of them was like my birthday dinner. Like we went out to an Italian restaurant and I was like, I would really like a glass of wine. And now I say a glass of wine would be nice if I could have a glass of wine, but I can't just have a glass of wine. No. I want the whole bottle and then I want another bottle.
Right.
And
it's like
so
taking one Advil, like, what the hell's the point? It doesn't work.
This made up thing in my head that like I could fit this into my life and like that it would somehow enhance the moment.
Okay.
But it never did. Like, it just never did. And I come up against those thoughts still. Like, there are still moments where I'm like, that romantic idea pops into my head again.
Yeah.
It's never like, you know, I'm never at like a bar where I'm like, I want to get hammered or order some crazy cocktail or something. It's literally for me, it's red wine. Just like gets me.
Yeah.
But I have to tell myself, like, I've tested this a million times and it doesn't work.
Yeah, like what do you do when those thoughts creep in? Do you get up and move? Do you kind of ride the wave? What have you found that works for you?
Definitely talking about it with other sober people.
Yes.
That's always, you know, now at this point, I've been in so many different groups, tried so many different communities that now I have, you know, I have those group chats, but I also just have like my couple of friends that I'll go to and we text all the time. So staying in touch with my sober friends is important. People who understand. And I do vocalize, like I'll vocalize it to my husband too. So like saying it out loud, calling myself out.
Yeah.
Like hearing how ridiculous I sound.
No, it works. Sometimes you got to get it out of your head.
Yeah.
Like even writing it down, like, oh.
Reminding myself about all of those times when it didn't do anything for me. So why do I think it's going to be any different? It's that, like what you said before, like you're doing the same thing over and over again. It is the definition of insanity. So just calling myself out, like leaning into my tools.
Yeah. And it's also okay to have these like thoughts come and to let them go. Like we don't necessarily need to act on every single thought that comes to our head. I mean, I don't know about you, but I would definitely be in jail if I acted on every thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Like, could you imagine if you acted on every single thought that popped into your head? It's almost comical, right? Like, when we think about it, we think about the weirdest shit.
And, like, I have to let go of the, like, guilt and shame and, like, beating myself up about the thoughts, mm-hmm. because they are just thoughts, like, to your point. It doesn't mean that I want to light my life on fire. It doesn't mean that I haven't made any progress, but I also like to frame it as, okay, I spent over 10 years drinking mm-hmm. to excess. And yeah, maybe I've been working on this since 2020, but at this point I'm a year and some change consecutively sober and solid. And that's not a lot of time. Like, it's going to take a while. Like, mm-hmm. these thoughts don't just disappear. Our brains are so hardwired. So sometimes I'm just like, this is my stupid head. Like, let me just ignore it. A lot of, like, talking to myself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah.
But it works. And I love that you say that, because you have to be a little more gentle with yourself. Like, this is a long game. You know, we're here for a long time, most of us. You know, this is going to take a while, and it's not perfect. You don't have to have it all figured out today or tomorrow or even this year. Like, that's not the point. But the more that you put pressure and stress and judge yourself, the more shame you're going to be spiraling in. And guess what? That does, like, gets you nowhere fast. Yeah. Nowhere. So you're good, girl. Keep it going. Keep talking to yourself. But talk to yourself in a nicer way, please. Be nice to my friend.
Yes, I will. So I'm feeling pretty good when it comes to alcohol.
Yeah.
Feeling good.
So Meg, talk to me about THC, because what really caught my attention about your profile and the things that you talk about on Instagram was you addressed cannabis, THC, however you want to label it. Tell me about your relationship with cannabis.
Yeah. So like I said, I think I experimented with smoking mm-hmm. in high school, maybe even middle school. I'm like trying to think, but early, but it wasn't my thing. Then mm-hmm. when I got to college, I dabbled with it, but it still wasn't my thing. I would enjoy smoking weed with my roommates or like my college boyfriend and like his roommates. And, mm-hmm. but it just wasn't something that I craved or wanted to do often or anything like that. But when I moved into the city and was on my own, I think I used it more recreationally throughout my 20s. Again, never identified a problem with it, and it never caused any issues. Like, that's the big thing about weed, is that it never made me end up in the hospital like alcohol did. It never made me black out like alcohol did. It never made me do something embarrassing in front of coworkers. Like, it.
Interesting.
It's insidious in that way where it's like, it's not as overt, right?
Right.
But when I look back, mm-hmm. I was using it in an intertwined way with alcohol, where like, if I was hungover, mm-hmm. I would need to smoke weed. I was more and more like, the more I drank in my 20s, the more hungover I was, and the more I needed quotation weed. And then, but at the time still didn't recognize an issue. And it wasn't until I stopped drinking that I realized I had some overlap in how I abused alcohol and how I was using THC. And I'm still like processing that and working through it. It's been
going
to be a year in March since the last time I smoked weed.
Yeah.
But I really ramped up as I was quitting drinking, you know, between 2020 and now, you know, a year ago when I stopped almost.
Mm-hmm.
I really ramped up my use of it.
Okay.
I got a medical card because in New York, you know, it's not, well, it just became recreationally legal since I quit, but, it wasn't. So I got a medical card so that I could get as much of it as I wanted. And I leaned into it pretty heavily. Like, you know, now there's like gummies, there's drinks, mm-hmm. there's, you don't have to like have a joint out or like have your like bowl or your bong. Like it's, you can like sneak a gummy like into a restaurant. So I leaned on it
a
lot in my first couple of years exploring quitting drinking. And I will be totally honest, I don't think I would have been able to stop drinking had I not been able to rely on cannabis. Like it really, really helped me.
Okay.
Especially in social settings where like I said, I have a big family, a lot of weddings and events and stuff like that where I was around alcohol, and a gummy would help me like loosen up and like calm down in that situation. And I'd be like, I'm good. Like I'm content with my weed gummy and I don't need a drink. So it did help.
Okay.
And so I guess you could say like that was my way of using it for harm reduction purposes while I was quitting the thing that was killing me, which was alcohol.
Right.
But then, like I said, I was like noticing over time that there was a lot of overlap. Again, not overt, never made me into somebody that I hated or like, you know, it just didn't do the things that alcohol did to me, but it was – I was spending a ton of money on it.
Yep.
I couldn't stop using it. Like I wanted it every day. Like it got to a point where I was like, even if I wasn't in a social setting, I was like waking up and wanting to use it.
Interesting.
Like lazy. And I know that's like kind of cliche and maybe some people, you know, I might get like flack from people who are Cali sober and like weed, but like it did. It made me have really bad brain fog. I needed it all the time. Like I felt dependent on it. And
I mean, it's altering your state in like a very intense way.
Yeah. I couldn't moderate it. Like going back to moderation, eventually I was not able to moderate it anymore.
Okay.
And what it came down to was I got a therapist this time last year. You know, I just bought a house and got married and like I'm spending every time I go to the dispensary over $100. Like it's not cheap.
Whoa.
And that was a problem. Like that was a problem. I'm trying to like grow a savings. Like I'm trying to be me and my husband, we're planning for a family. Like I'm pregnant now and like I wanted to have a baby.
Yeah.
And so again, like talked to my husband about it and was just like, I need help like quitting this. So I started working with a therapist and stopped. And it was hard. Like, it wasn't easy, but, I'm much clearer headed. Also, I'm on medication for anxiety and depression and like, you can't mix that with THC. And I was mixing that. So
no.
Just so many different like.
So yeah. Oof. I love that you brought up that like it's kind of the sleeper, right? Like THC, it's you can kind of do it anywhere. You can do it really secretly. Like you said, like a gummy doesn't smell. You would never know.
No.
You would never know. And it's also like a double-edged sword because also you're not hungover, which I think a lot of people stop drinking because they're getting older and they're sick and tired of the hangovers for the health of it, right? There's none of that with THC. Like you don't get really like a hangover. Like maybe you'll be a little bit tired in the morning, but not like alcohol.
Yeah.
Not even close.
No, it's totally different. I will say though, this, the THC that we have access to now is so much more potent than what it's ever been. And it is addictive. Like there's this like common, there's, it's a myth that like you can't be addicted.
Yeah.
But when I quit, I fully had withdrawals. Like I was having horrible night sweats, which is something that's really common for people who are like dependent on THC and then quit it.
Yeah.
I had full on night sweats. I couldn't eat. Like my appetite was all messed up. I had that same type of emotional inability that a lot of people do when they quit drinking, where like you just cannot manage your emotions at all because you always
because you've been so numb.
Exactly.
Like,
so I
this
had
is
that
tough stuff.
Yeah, I was like angry. I just like so again, like trying to quit it or trying to moderate it, which is what I tried to do at first before I was like, okay, full stop. I realized, like, again, with the moderation, sometimes you're like, oh, I can't. This is an issue. Like, I need to. So,
yeah, I feel definitely.
But I'd be lying if I said I didn't think about it still.
Sure.
Because of those fantasies, again, that you have in your head. But yeah. But yeah. And I think a lot of people do relate. Like, I hope a lot of people listen and relate to it because, it's insidious.
Definitely. But it sounds like there's like a love hate here because, you know, on one side, you know, it really helped you in the harm reduction side to really change your relationship with alcohol, right? Like a solid, solid step away from alcohol. And I know it's like replacing one thing with another, but it's almost like the lesser evil. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think what I would like want to caution is I would never, if you're not someone, like if you're someone who's listening and you want to quit drinking and you heard me just say it really helped me quit drinking, but you've never tried weed, like you're not somebody who's ever been a cannabis user, I would never be like, use this, like start using this.
Right.
But if you are familiar with it, like if you use it, if you use both of those things, you might relate to that more. It's just my point is I would never be like to somebody who's never used cannabis, I would never encourage it as a way to stop drinking because I think it is really dangerous and you can get addicted to it. For me, I was like, I was using both. I just sort of like ramped it up a lot with weed and then had to pull back. But yeah, so I would never like I would never recommend it as a tool for quitting. But I definitely personally it's a love hate because I do credit it for really, really helping me at first. And it was a lesser of two evils, like definitely.
Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. We're not trying to push anyone to any other substance. You know, this is strictly Meg, this is your experience and your point of view.
Yeah. Yeah, great. Exactly.
So I do get like a lot of questions and a lot of maybe concerns around cannabis and like people who are like, oh, almost asking permission, right? Like, is it okay if I use cannabis? Is it okay if I, you know, do this once in a while? Like, should I feel shame? Should I feel guilt? What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, I've seen those questions too, where people are like, am I, and I, to be honest, I battled with them myself. Like in, like I said, in 2021, when I went almost that whole year without drinking, I was having this like struggle with myself. Cause I was like, oh, I'm 6 months sober, 7 months sober, 8 months sober. But then I'd be like, am I allowed to say that because I use weed? Like, am I allowed to use the term sober? Am I sober? Like, should I be hiding this? Should I be transparent about this? And I think ultimately, like, so there's so many opinions and there's so many different like schools of thought on sobriety and recovery and how you should or shouldn't do things or what you're allowed to do. Like, there's all of these unspoken rules. And I think ultimately, like, we know the answers for ourselves. Like,
yeah.
If you're questioning something,
mm-hmm.
follow that. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody should be able to say, like, oh no, you can't use the term sober because you smoke weed. Like, for me, it's like, keep your focus on yourself. If you know what I mean, like, it's just like, we shouldn't care about what other people have to say. If you're doing something, if you're proud of yourself and like secure in how you feel in your recovery, great. Mm-hmm. But if you're questioning it, like I was, and I was like, I feel like I'm maybe misusing this, and maybe I'm dependent on this, and maybe I kind of feel like a hypocrite because I knew in my head, like I needed to quit it. I needed to stop leaning on it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I think ultimately, like, you have to follow your intuition and not compare to other people's journeys. Like, if alcohol is the most important thing for you and you don't resonate, say you don't resonate with anything I'm saying and you're perfectly happy using cannabis.
Yeah.
That's your business. Like, that's fine. Yeah. I think
you get to determine your relationship with all of these substances.
Yeah.
Right. And you also get to determine what is healthy and unhealthy for you. I think that's why we get so confused, especially like the term alcoholic, right? Like, we try and make it like a logical, like, okay, if you've had 2 to 3 drinks in 7 to 8 hours, like, you know, like, it's like this freaking mathematical equation. When you could be sitting there having one drink and be like, Meg, I feel so guilty.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Because you know in your heart of hearts that this is not who you want to be. This is not what you want to do for yourself. And I think going against yourself, like, that's an unhealthy relationship.
Yes. Yeah. So I do like to say, I know it sounds a little harsh, but I'm like, keep your focus on yourself. Like, what do you think?
100%. I love that. Stay in your own lane, girl.
Exactly. I mean, that's definitely something I've had to work on with other people drinking. Mm. Like I said, family, my husband drinks. Like, I went through a phase where I know a lot of people do in early sobriety where you're like, it's hard to watch other people drink. And I mm-hmm. get that. But I had to catch myself and be like, hold on, I can't judge anybody and their habits. Like, you just need to stay in your lane. Like, keep your focus on yourself. You can't change anyone else. So it's like much easier said than done. But yeah, I think that's the way to go.
Yeah. But I think that's also part of this change. It's part of sobriety. It's part of this journey is like coming home to yourself. Right? Because we know what is best for us. You are the captain of your ship, as am I.
Yep.
Ahoy. Meg, where can we find you on the World Wide Web?
You can find me at You Don't Have to Drink, or my other page is at More Than Sobriety. That's my podcast. You can find it on Spotify or Apple. I would not to put you on the spot. I would love to have you.
Totally.
If you're ever interested. But yeah, that's where you find me.
100%. I'm totally there. Let's do it. Great.
Perfect. I want to hear about your Austin adventures.
To be continued. You're going to have to listen to Meg's podcast for that. Meg, thank you so, so much for your time and sharing your experience and knowledge with us. This has been fantastic.
Thank you.
Absolutely love having conversations like this. And remember, we are not here to convert anyone. We are here to change the narrative. We are here to change the topic and to give you possibilities and opportunities. You don't always have to drink, you don't always have to smoke, but we are here to share different sides of different stories. But if you'd like to be converted, head over to asobergirlsguide.com now. We got tons of tips and tricks to help you change your relationship with alcohol once and for all. From our Sober Girl Social Club to our group coaching, we got your back at any stage of your booze-free journey. Head to sobergirlsguide.com now. As always, thank you so much for listening. Please make sure to rate, subscribe, and leave feedback about the podcast. And follow us on Instagram and Facebook at A Sober Girls Guide.